Second Canto, 10th chapter, 31st verse, translation powered by Srila Prabhupada. The seven elements of the body, namely the thin layer on the skin itself, the flesh, blood, fat, marrow, and bone, are all made of earth, water, and fire, whereas the life breath is produced by the sky, water, and air. Powered by Srila Prabhupada. The construction of whole material world is predominantly made by three elements, namely earth, water, and fire. But the living force is produced by sky, air, and water. So water is a common element in both the gross and subtle forms of all material creation. And it should be noted herewith that due to necessity, water, being most prominent in material creation, is a principal element of all the five. The material body is thus an embodiment of five elements, and the gross manifestation is perceived because of three, namely earth, water, and fire. Sensations of touch are perceived due to thin layer on the skin, and bone is as good as hard stone. The breathing air of life is produced of sky, air, and water, and therefore open air, regular bath, and ample space in which to live are favorable for healthy vitality. Fresh, produced from the earth, like grains and vegetables, as well as fresh water and heat, is good for the upkeep of gross body. Om Ajnana Timrantasya Jnana Anjana Shalaka Chakshunyatamena Tasmai Shri Gurave. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swagadantikam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Shubhate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dina. Okay, so second canto, then chapter 31st verse, and this canto is talking about creation of the Supreme Lord. So right in the first verse of this canto, that verse comes, there are 10 subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam. Atra sargascha visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya Manvantre Shanugatha Nirodho Mukti Ashraya. So everything what is there in Bhagavatam or other Puranas, they can be categorized into 10 subject matters. Sarga means primary creation. Atra Sarga. Sarga means primary creation. Water, air, ether. That's all made by Supreme Lord. And Visarga. Visarga, V means special. And sarga means creation, special creation. Special creation means which is carried on by Brahma, and which is you mix elements and you make things just like here. Flesh, fat, bone marrow, they're all made of earth, water, fire, mixture. So primary creation means colors. You can think like that. Secondary creation means a painter. He uses a color to paint. That primary creation is done by Krishna. He makes colors. And secondary creation is done by Brahma and other demigods. They paint using the colors. Secondary creation. So one of the painting among all paintings is our form. That's our form. Brahma painted this. Atra sarga visarga cha sthanam. And then the third subject matter is sthanam. That is this creation where we are. Prabhupada translates this as the planetary systems. And then planets, where we live, all of us live. Poshanam, maintenance, God maintenance. Krishna maintains us by maintaining these planetary systems by gravity, sun, moon, etc. And then Utaya. Utaya means impetus, the desire. So after creating this material world, He puts all living entities in this material world and they desire to do something. Man mantra means various time spans. Man mantra, Krishna comes in various man mantra, various period of Manu. He does many pastimes. Ishanu katha, various pastimes of the Lord, or signs of God, Prabhupada translates. So Krishna comes at particular age of Manu. And then in particular yuga, Satyoga, Kaliyoga, Dwaparayoga, to do his pastimes, that is Ishanugatha. Isha means Lord, Katha means about him. Nirodho, after understanding all these things, then Nirodh. Nirodh means how to go back. Nirodh means stop. That's the seventh subject matter of Bhagavatam. You understand everything, and after understanding, you understand that this is not good. I'll come to this point, Nirodha. And then Mukti, when you understand this is not good, something else is good. Spiritual word. Mukti means liberation. Go back to home. And Ashraya. Ashraya means when you go back to Krishna, you take a shelter. Now these are 10 subject matter. This is called as signs of God. Question is, why do we want to understand so many things? Why do we need to understand creation, secondary creation, and sarga, visarga, sthanam, planetary systems? Why can't we just love Krishna? You know? So many people have this question. Many devotees do not read second, third, fourth canto, because if you start reading this, there are high chances to become mad. It's complex. So people avoid this, all these complex. This is called Sankhya. Sankhya. Sankhya means counting. 1, 2, 3, 4 in Sanskrit. So you're counting. Okay, this is earth, water, fire, air, ether. 10 senses. 10 sense perception. For like this, if you count, there are 24 elements. If you keep on counting. Observing. You have to observe. That's all, like a scientist. And then you have soul and super soul. So keep on counting. That Sankhya means counting. Different rishis have different counting system. Somebody counts 24 elements, somebody counts maybe 8, somebody counts 10. Krishna says to Uddhava in the 11th canto, different rishis have different system. But the point is, not we have to understand the system, different systems. The point is, why to understand all these things? That's the question. And that's an important question. Why to understand? So, what does Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, why to understand? Because Nirodha, that's the idea. We talked about that. We have to understand about this creation to understand that this creation is nonsense. In one sense, although it's made by Krishna, it is not good. So somebody asked Prabhupada, if it is made by Krishna, it should be good because Krishna is good. So Prabhupada said, no, it is Krishna's stool. You understand? It's Krishna's stool. So we also pass stool, but it is made by us. But still, nobody cares about that. So Krishna is disinterested in this material world. That comes in Bhagavatam, third canto. Maitreya, there's discussion between Maitreya and Vidur. And in that discussion it comes, Krishna is absolutely disinterested. He makes this world, and he's disinterested in this world. So as servants of Krishna, whatever our master likes, we like that. Whatever our master dislikes, we dislike that, no? Because we are servant. So Krishna doesn't like this material world. We don't like it. Why we don't like it? Because when we analyze this world, here it is said, a body is made of skin, flesh, blood, fat, bone marrow, so many things. When we analyze this word, we understand that this is all temporary. One thing. Temporary. And not only temporary, but this is the source of all our miseries. Because it's word of duality. You get some happiness, but then you lose things and they get destroyed, and then you get misery, including a body. It is said by Shankaracharya in one of his Bhaj Govindam. We all know Bhaj Govindam. He wrote that. In that he says, Baram Baram, again and again, remember that this body is made of flesh, blood, marrow, bone. It is disgusting. It is disgusting. Although it is Krishna's property, but it is disgusting, frustrating. So this is the starting point of spirituality. We have to get disgusted with this material world. Yesterday we were hearing Prabhupada was saying. And then we can question, okay, if this is disgusting, what is real? What is true? What is true happiness? So that's the first thing. Why should we understand science of God? To understand that this is not good. Not good for us. Because when you understand it's not good for us, then we get desire to understand God. Our desire to understand God increases. No? The point is, the desire to understand God comes from association of devotees. It doesn't come from disgust. It's not that every person who gets disgusted with this material world, he goes to Krishna. It's not like that. Because many people become disgusted with this material world and they become Mayavadis. No? Philosophers, many Western philosophers, they could come to this conclusion even without reading scriptures that this world is nonsense. Nietzsche. Typical example. Friedrich Nietzsche. Nietzsche, you call us Nietzsche here? He could understand this. It is nonsense. Nothing is happy here. He went to make himself happy. He started listening to music. You know, he thought, okay, fine. This is God. Just like in America, you know, people like music. This is God, godly. So he tried that. But then afterwards, he got disillusioned. And then, of course, he had no positive understanding of God. So he ended up in depression and he became mad. Nietzsche, the Superman. He gave the concept of Uberman. You know Uberman? He said, everybody should be a Superman, perfect person. But he didn't know how to become perfect. So philosophers can understand this material world is nonsense, but they become mad. Many saints can understand this material world is nonsense just by contemplating on this world. But they become Mayavadis. No conclusion. So it is not that every frustrated person surrenders to God. Nirodho Mukti Ashraya. It is not that every person who understands this material world is nonsense, he takes shelter of Krishna. Who takes shelter of Krishna? There is just one condition, association of devotees. That's all. You're frustrated or not frustrated, it doesn't matter. By association of devotees, you get the, I can say, visa. You get the passport to go to Krishna. They have the passport. They can give the passport. That is why in all Vaishnava Sampradaya, the most important limb of any Vaishnava Sampradaya is service to devotees. No, everybody. Gopi Bhartu Patkamale or Das Anudas Anudas. We are servants of servants of servants of Vaishnava. We have to serve Vaishnavas more than God. Why? Because of them we came to Krishna. Not because of frustration. But frustration for this material world helps us. After we get the seed of devotion, that frustration helps that seed of devotion to mature. Along with our chanting of Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, that is the water. And that frustration intensifies it. Just like you cook. So you cook khichdi. You call khichdi here? Khichdi. You put water, rice and dal. And then you cook. But then when you put fire, more flame, it becomes intense and it cooks. So frustration is like a flame. Flame. There are three fires we should always remember. Prabhupada mentioned Prabhupada doesn't say there are three fires, but if you read properly, there are three things. Shikshastikam, if you read properly, there are three fires which can purify you. One is the fire of frustration from this material world. It can help you advance. Fire means it can heat your devotion. It can make your heat means passion, no? It can bring passion in your devotion. There's this nonsense. I want Krishna. I want to get out of this material world. Prabhupada, so many times he said, Prabhupada used to see beautiful things, but then people used to expect that he'll appreciate, but then he used to say it's nonsense. Prabhupada came to America and they were taking him to, I think LA it happened. They went to a building and they were showing Prabhupada, so nice buildings. Prabhupada said, nonsense. So people used to think Prabhupada is pessimistic or what? No. But Prabhupada is realistic. That's the point. So that's the first fire, frustration. Prabhupada says, we should hate this material world. It's not good. It's not good. And the second fire is fire of guilt. Fire of guilt. We are singing Gopinath. Mama ne vidana suno. That's the fire of guilt. I am sinful. I have no good qualities. I have always spoken lies. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings like that. I have always given distress to others. That's the fire of guilt. It purifies us. And the third fire is fire of service. Service, attitude, that passion in service. Prabhupada said many times, preaching is fighting. He said, he didn't say preaching is giving lecture. It's not like that. It's fighting. Prabhupada says, just like Arjuna is fighting, we are fighting. We are fighting with wrong ideas. And Prabhupada says in one of his, I think in one of his conversations, he said that we are not fighting with Maya. Maya is there, Prabhupada says. Maya is there. But she is a Vaishnavi. No? She'll leave us if we surrender to Krishna. But demons will not leave us. They're after us now. Prabhupada says our fight is with demons or demonic mentality. That's what a fight is. That's the third fire. So this, all three fires are relevant to us. So when we understand this material creation, we can get these three fires. It helps us. Fire of frustration, fire of guilt, because we are in this material world and we are forced to do many wrong things, no? We are in this matter. It is said in Bhagavatam, we are not in this world. Word is within us. That was a question. Brahma's four, Sanat, Sanatan, Kumar, all these four kids, they asked Brahma, Brahma, we want to control our mind. We want to separate our mind from this material world. Brahma said, well, I don't know the answer. It's so difficult. It's so difficult. So Hamsa, Krishna comes in form of Hamsa. And he tells, see, you both are foolish. You can't separate this mind from material world because your mind is not in material world. Material world is in your mind. That's there in our mind. Creation is in our mind. That's what is mind made of. So, how does science of God helps us? Okay, fire of frustration. Fire of service. It helps us to get fire of service. We want to serve Krishna. Why we want to serve Krishna? Because we want to get out of this material world. We want a shelter. So, the point is, if you have an enemy, you know how to learn. You know how to fight, no? If there's an enemy, you get passion. If there's no enemy, okay, that's fine, we'll sleep. Is it? So you need an enemy. Enemy helps us to be alert. There's no enemy, we're not alert. So this material world helps us to be alert in service of God. Because if you're not alert, then this will pull us. It'll pull us down. So material creation is helping us indirectly to increase our service attitude. And that is why Maya has two meanings. Material world is made of Maya. Maya has two meanings. One is illusion and another is mercy. Maya also means mercy. So this material world is making us frustrated. At the same time, the second reason we should understand material world, it is mercy of God on us to make us alert. For example, mother slaps a child. Now, what does child think? Mother is, mama is bad. So he gets frustrated of his mother. No? At some point of time, every child, you know, he's like, mama, you're bad. So that's a slap. But from the perspective of mother, it's mercy. So this material creation is like that. It's a slap. It's nonsense. But from the perspective of Krishna, Krishna is giving us this nonsense not to actually put us eternity here. He's giving us this nonsense to help us understand, to make us alert in his service. That's the idea. To make us alert. That's how we should perceive this material world. Yes, it is nonsense, but this nonsense is helpful. So the trick is make best use of what's that? Best use of bad bargain. Yeah, that's what Prabhupada said. Best use of bad bargain. Make it. So use this creation, use a frustration to increase your service attitude. Yes. If your mind is disturbed, okay, my mind is disturbed. So we get disturbed by disturbance. But that's not a good idea. Everybody's mind gets disturbed. It's natural. Prabhupada said, it's natural. Many of his letters, his disciples were asking, Prabhupada, I'm disturbed, my mind is disturbed. Prabhupada said, it's natural. But what is unnatural, you get disturbed by that disturbance. That's not a good idea. So what we should do, we should use that disturbance to increase our service attitude. That should be there. If there's an enemy, you can get a fear and run away. But you can use the enemy to become strong. Is it? Suppose when enemy comes, so what do this? Suppose there are two kings, they are fighting. There's an enemy and this. So what does king do? He enthuses our military people. Yes, get up, let's fight. When they see the opponent, they get more enthusiasm. When they come near, they get more enthusiastic. They all shout, there's music, no? It's like that. So that's fire of service. So creation helps us to increase our fire of service. And the third fire is, the fire of guilt. You get fire of guilt. And there's fourth fire, which is not relevant to us now. That's fire of separation. So, of course, Prabhupada says in one of his lecture, if you're not attached to Krishna, there's no question of separation. It's not artificial, no. So, by understanding this creation, these three fires, we can get all these three fires. We can serve Krishna better. That's one reason why we should understand science of God. The next reason we should understand science of God is to appreciate the causeless mercy of Lord. Prabhupada uses many times causeless mercy. Ahituki apratyahata. That verse is there. Vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojata. Janyati ashuvaira. Savai pumsam paro dharma yato bhakti radokshaje. Ahituki apratyahata yatma suprasidati. So devotion is to appreciate causeless mercy of Lord. Of course, this verse says your devotion should be causeless. But if you go in Sanskrit, it can also mean that why our devotion is causeless? Because we see that His mercy is causeless. Why do we want to serve Krishna without anything? Everybody wants a benefit, no? At least we want peace and happiness when we come to Krishna. At least. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's idea is we even don't want peace and happiness. We are not interested in ourselves. We are interested in Krishna. That's Vrindavan all about. Prabhupada says many times in his lecture, gopis means absolute self-sacrifice. Yesterday I was reading Prabhupada's letter. He was saying gopis means absolute self-sacrifice. They have even sacrificed their idea of happiness and peace. We are not here for peace. We are here to serve Krishna. If in service of Krishna we get peace, very nice. It's a bonus. But if we don't get peace, no problem. Absolutely no problem. We are happy if Krishna is happy. So, if in service of Krishna, we don't get peace, we don't get happiness. If in service of Krishna, we don't get happiness, and we are disturbed, that disturbance is a happiness. That's what Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita when he comments on Antilila. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, whatever sorrows I get in your service, that is my happiness. So with you, my unhappiness is my happiness. And without you, my happiness is no happiness. That's how a servant lives. We are servant. We are not jnanis. Jnanis are interested in themselves. So that's the second thing. So why don't we want anything from Krishna? We even don't want peace and happiness. Somebody can ask you, how come you're just serving Krishna like that? Because Krishna is serving us like that. From His perspective, He wants to serve. Prabhupada says in Bhagavatam, He's serving us. We think He's giving mercy, but in His mind He thinks, I am serving my devotees. That's what He thinks. Prabhupada says, who is the most humble? What do you say? Krishna. Somebody said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am the most humble. Prabhupada said, no, you are not the most humble. Krishna is the most humble. So Krishna thinks like that. In Ramayana, if you read, Lord Ram, one of the quality of Lord Ram is, he always thinks people are obliging him. In his mind, he always gives them He always thinks, I have to serve them. That's what Krishna thinks. I'm serving my devotees. So he is serving us. That's his causeless mercy. Causeless mercy means without any cause. He wants to serve. Even if there's no reason, he will serve. And he's helping us, no? What is his creation? What is his sun, moon? A scientist can see it as a globe of nuclear fission, whatever, fusion. Fusion, yeah. Moon, planets, rocks, all these dead things. But devotees can see behind these dead things mercy of Lord, causeless mercy. This is all mercy. Prabhupada says this is mercy. So many times Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, no, Krishna is giving sunlight, he's giving us moonlight, water, fire. It is here. It is here. Water, fire, earth. Body is made of earth, water, fire. So devotee has a different kind of perception. So this second reason we should understand science of God. This verse might, if you read like this, it's okay, fine, you know what's happening. But devotee's perception is different. He sees this word as causeless mercy of Lord. If Krishna wanted, he could have put us in black hole. If there is a black hole. According to physics, that's another question. So he could have put us in black hole. You can't return from black hole. That's the point. Eternity. Eternally. But he doesn't do that. He gave us, although we are envious, but still he gives us all these things. Who is there in this world who will give you everything in spite of you despising him, not serving him, criticizing him? That's what we have been doing so many lives, no? I don't know about you, but I was doing this. We were all like messing up. We were all probably in some life we would have offended, blasphemed Krishna, his devotees. Not probably, but yeah, definitely. And that's why we are here. The fact we are reborn, you know why we are reborn? This is said in Bhagavatam, so I think in 11th canto, Prabhupada disciples write that we are reborn because we did offenses against Vaishnavas. That's why we are reborn. That's all. That's a major cause. We didn't serve Krishna. We did offenses against Krishna. So we did so many things, and now we are here. So second reason to understand science of God is that we can understand that this is causeless mercy of Lord. He is giving in spite of our negative attitude towards him. He is giving us. Even now he is giving us, no? This temple, devotees, prasad, even now we are not fully surrendered to him. Even now we have negativity in our mind. How do we know that we have negativity in our mind? Somebody can say, well, I am in the temple, I am a devotee, I love Krishna. How come you are saying you are envious of God? Even now we are envious of God. In a deep within our mind, deep within our heart, deep within our, down deep in our consciousness, we are envious. How do we know that? What's the proof? Somebody can argue, no? Why are you saying, I'm envious? You might be envious, but I'm not envious. Well, almost all of us are, because the symptom of enviousness is a sense gratification. That's what Prabhupada's entire purpose are this, that's all. Because we want to enjoy without God. That is enviousness. That's all. We want to do sense gratification. So that's the second reason that we have to understand that slowly when we understand this is causeless mercy of Lord, he's giving us in spite of we being bad, we'll develop. You know, if you're a good person, you can't see that other person is always giving you and you don't give him anything. No, it's such a bad thing. So Krishna is giving us as devotees, as non-devotees. That's his causeless. That is why it's called causeless. There is no cause. The cause, if you really want to think cause, then he should not give mercy. If you think logically. If you think logically, come on. Come on, you're not accepting me. So many lifetimes you are doing so many nonsense things. Okay, no mercy. But still he's giving. That's causeless. Because he wants to give. His nature is to give mercy. And when devotee sees this, then he wants to return him by causeless service. Causeless mercy, causeless service. Or when he sees Krishna is causelessly serving us, Then devotee, okay, mind, God is serving us. Krishna is serving us. He's so nice. So we start serving him causelessly. That's actually, that's the science behind causeless mercy. This is the second reason we want to understand this creation. Earth, water, fire, sky, ether. You see, it's different, no? For devotees, we perceive differently. And the third reason we want to understand this, earth, water, fire, earth, ether, sky, ten sense perception, all these elements. Why? Because Krishna is all about contradiction. So Prabhupada says in one of his purport of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is full of contradictions. So what do I mean by that? You see, when you understand this material world, it will come in this chapter. Who is behind this? Krishna. So Krishna is powerful. Devotee sees Krishna behind him, this creation. His power, not on just his mercy, but his power. Now when you observe his power, and you know, he's great. Rupa said, I try to understand, he's great. But then, when you read his pastimes in Vrindavan, he is lifting sandals of Nand Maharaj, no? On his head. Gopis say to Krishna, you sit down. Krishna, sit down. Stand up. He stands up. He's in the control of Vrajvasis. But here, when you see creation, he's a controller. But when you see his pastimes of Vrindavan, he's controlled. It's contradiction. Simultaneously he's controller, simultaneously he's controlled, no? And this contradiction of God, that gives bliss to devotees. That is blissful, no? That's all about Krishna. That's Krishna. That's why we feel nice. That is why Prabhupada always said, try to understand how great he is. Why should we try to understand how great he is? Can't we simply love Krishna as a sweet boy of Vrindavan? You can love him, but then you'll not get bliss. Because bliss is all about wonder, no? That's wonder, no? That's what... If you read poetry, the main thing in poetry and drama is wonder. And that word comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. What's that? Siddhant bolia na kara alas. Tave, what's that? I just forgot. Anyway, Krishna's Kavya Swami said, Chitte pave chamatkar. If you understand the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, your heart will get chamatkar, magic. There will be wonder. Why wonder? Because Mahaprabhu brought us contradictions. Krishna is absolute pure and still he's stealing. He's brahmachari, still he's with gopis. He is so compassionate, still he does politics. He's doing politics always now. So he's like that. And that gives bliss to devotees. So that's what is creation all about. You understand the power by seeing creation. And then you understand the sweetness by understanding his pastimes. And that is contradictory. We can't understand that. We can relish that. You can't understand all these things. But you can relish it. That's what is third reason we want to understand all these. That is why second canto, third canto, fifth canto are so important for us. It's not to do PhD. We are not here to analyze things. Somebody asked Prabhupada, this is another question. Oh, by the way, till 9 o'clock it's... Okay, it's almost done. So, somebody asked question, Prabhupada, should we understand God? In one of his lectures, Prabhupada said, simply love him. And in many of his lectures, he said, oh, Prabhupada says, simply love him. You can't understand God by your tiny intelligence. Prabhupada says that. And in many other lectures, Prabhupada says, try to understand God. No? Before you understand, if you understand God, you try to understand how great he is. Prabhupada says so many times. So that's contradictory. That seems contradictory. But then Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, he answers that, simply love Krishna. Don't try to understand him. But then he adds, I forgot the exact lecture that I've written that. Then he adds that, yes, you don't try to understand Krishna. Why we say this? Because you don't try to understand Krishna by your mental speculation. You don't try to understand Krishna by Vedas, by so big PhD. We are not like Jnanis. Then Prabhupada writes, you try to understand Krishna, how much he wants you to understand by his instructions. That's all. So Bhagavatam and Gita enough. He has given us, this much is enough to understand Krishna. You can read all other books, that's no problem. But this much is enough. So this much is enough. We are not going to do analysis like Mayavadis, you know. You go inside that, more inside. No, we are not interested in that. I think in second canto it comes. Previously, when Krishna is traveling from Hastinapur to Dwarka, and when war is over, Krishna is going from Hastinapur to Dwarka, is it? Then Prabhupada writes in the purport, Krishna passes the regions of, in the verse it comes, Krishna passes many regions, and the names are in Sanskrit. And then Prabhupada translates it into modern states. He said, okay, this region is Rajasthan, this region is Madhya Pradesh, this region is Maharashtra, Gujarat, and Krishna passes like that. Krishna goes. Then Prabhupada writes in the purport, well, we are not here to understand which regions are what regions. We are simply satisfied Krishna reached Dwarka safely. That's what Prabhupada writes. We are interested in safety of Krishna. We are happy Krishna reached Dwarka safely. So the idea to understand this creation is, oh, you can understand that much how much Bhagavatam tells us. That's enough. Okay, fine. If you want to go deeper, if you have a project, some specialized project, for example, planetarium, Mayapur, then you have maybe to do research in other things because you have to make something. But in general, if you don't have a project, okay, this much is enough. And what we have to understand by this is, by reading 2nd, 3rd, 5th canto, why is Sukhdev Goswami spending so much time in even though Parikshit has just 7 days? He could have just spoken about Rasleela. 7 days. I have just 7 days, you know. I don't have time. Sukhdev Goswami, what you are doing, you know, you are wasting my time. What is creation? I don't want to hear about creation. But majority of portion of Bhagavatam is devoted to creation. You can imagine. 2nd canto, 3rd canto, 4th some part, 5th, and then 11th, there's a lot of talk of creation, and then in between. So why? So that we are convinced about power of Krishna, and then when we read his sweetness, then we can relish. Oh, such a powerful person. He is playing in Vrindavan. That is contradiction. That creates bliss for devotees. And that's the third reason we should understand. So, idea is to love him. And all these signs helps us to love him. And that's the perfection of life. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. There's just 5 minutes left. Any questions? Anything? Let's finish. You have a mic, a big mic. Such a big, it's wireless.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So sometimes in our speaking to the students, they see that our perspective has the element of, you know, this is not really a good place. And so then they see that as negative. So how do we help them to understand the mercy factor? Because maybe they're not so much spiritually interested.
Okay, yeah, you're right. So we can give this example of mother. So mother slaps a child. So child thinks it's negative. But from mother's perspective, she's giving mercy. So I think that students will relate. I give this example and yeah. Mama is good. Mama is not bad. So then they can relate with this example. Then we can make them understand. It's mercy. Like this. Prabhupada gives an example. Nice example. So it is said Krishna is a benevolent despot. He is benevolent. He's strict, but he's benevolent. That's his mercy. And in fact, I mean to say, parents who are strict with their children, those children, like, they're good, you know. They don't do bad things. and they lead their life as a good... Parents are not strict, they tend to get spoiled. Everybody understands this. So we can tell them, see? Is it okay? Okay, if that's it. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak.